Listen carefully to the musical selections today because we want to send you to see Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, come April 15th at the Fox Theater. If you can figure out what they all have in common, our Friday musical theme contest, we will send you to see that show at the Fox. Give me cut four, please. This is Lindsey Graham. No, not cut four. Excuse me, cut five. He says it's an untested theory. Is it really? Let's get someone to weigh in who we trust implicitly, and that is Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Hi there, Todd.
Hey, Guy. How are you?
I'm good. So this idea, you take a misdemeanor, one whose clock has expired. I think it's got a two-year statute of limitations. And then you try to graft a felony on it. You heard Senator Graham say this has never been done before. Do we know that to be true?
Actually, I think it is true. Reading a couple reports and a author of a book for a mischaracterization of this this covering up of a document, business record, is the first time it's ever been charged where you had the state crime misdemeanor coupled with a federal campaign finance issue. So I think this case is going to see the first impression here in this case, in this state, and then it'll probably be in the Court of Appeals for quite some time.
How strong will the challenges be, do you think? Will it ever get to trial before the 24 election?
I believe be prepared for motion practice. This case will definitely have an impact on the status stare decisis of whether or not this could go forward. So I imagine, hold on, this is not going to get to a jury for some time. There is a countermeasure to that. You know, defense attorneys oftentimes will say, let's go now. Let's catch the prosecution off guard and put the case in front of a jury as fast as possible. I think that's reckless in this particular situation because there's probably so many motions that are ripe. So we'll see. I mean, right now we're guessing. We're guessing because we don't know the full spectrum of the indictment. We don't know. There might be other, you know, situations where they have a tax fraud case for the state. They have something where there's a wire fraud statute that the state implies where he used the bank and wires to transfer money. That's a possibility. So we're still waiting to see. But this is a case where he took the misdemeanor. It's okay to pay somebody for a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
Taking that and then mischaracterizing it in your books for your accounting practices that you file with the taxes, with the state, and then in turn covering it up and either destroying the documents or the like. I see a lot of defenses factually because he may say, hey, listen, it's a specific intent crime, right? You got to show the specific intent of doing this. He may say, I was doing it because I didn't want to have embarrassment with my wife, or I was doing it because I didn't want to have embarrassment of my family.
Or he may say, my accountant was the one that entered it into the ledger. I didn't.
That's truly accurate. So we already found that one of his financial persons that managed his business did go to prison for mishandling and was took a plea deal for mishandling his books. So this is a long ways from seeing the finality, I should say, of this case. I think it's going to be a long drawn battle. And for the life of me, I'm not sure why it took so long. Why didn't they do it last year? Why is it right now? And then there's so many other cases that have potential teeth to them when you read between the lines, you know, that of Georgia. And you also have, you know, the January 6th situation. So this coming out first, I think, emboldens the people that are supporting Trump. It emboldens him. You'll see him take immediately, as he already has, and go after the judge and go after everybody and their brother as it relates to this case. So
I want to make sure I hit as many things as I can here, Todd. And one of them is that we saw both Trump surrogates and Trump himself talk about death and destruction if this charge was made. Very open-ended, but could be intimidating to a prospective juror, could be viewed that way by a judge. Do you think we'll see a gag order in this case? And will a judge say, look, everybody, you can't talk to the media and you're going to stay off social media? And will it make it harder to get a jury?
two things. One, you hit the nail on the head. That is going to be, like I would imagine, quickly stamped with that request as it relates to a gag order, both on the prosecution side and on the defense side. Will it make it harder to get a jury? Where are you going to go and get a jury in this case? It doesn't matter. You first have to attempt to impanel a jury, but what state, what city has not heard about this case? It's the first in our country, first in our history, right? So everybody is going to know about this case. Trying to get a fair and impartial jury is going to be a difficult task. But what you must do first is attempt to impanel a jury and run through everything you have to run through.
Right.
We've had that here in Michigan. We had it with Kwame. We've had it all over the place. So the first step is attempting. But again, that's a far cry. I could imagine a motion for a change of venue.
If we do get a jury impaneled and we do see a trial, I have no doubt it's going to be a media circus. I have no doubt that it's going to be a made-for-TV drama, much like the January 6th hearings were, and the Democrats are hoping to stain the former president in a variety of ways. But when you look at what you were talking about, you know, it could be wire fraud, it could be this, could be that. It sounds like an awful lot of very complex financial crimes that could very easily make our eyes glaze over. If this is supposed to be a made-for-TV spectacle, I mean, it may have started allegedly with sex, but it doesn't sound like a very sexy case for viewers.
It could be a cure for insomnia. It's possible. But the issue, you know, a great lawyer makes it easy only when it becomes easy to explain to a jury. You got to make it simple. If you start glazing jurors over, the prosecution is going to lose. They have to make this so that it is understandable, simple, and people can get the aha moment. Oh, yes, I see. He paid Cohen to get the non-disclosure agreement. Oh, I get it now. Okay. And then he misrepresented that in his books. Oh, okay, fine. And then he destroyed his books to make it look something different, and it was a federal finance campaign documentation. But that's got to be in such a concise, easy way to go at it. I can't imagine it's going to be like that, because you're going to have Goliath, and there's going to be plenty of defense attorneys that want to jump in, I would imagine, on this case, because it's a first impression case.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, and listen, it's just not in court. It's in the court of public opinion too, which may be the most important jurors of all, given the fact that he's a candidate for president. I've only got 90 seconds left, but as you look at this, what will we see on Tuesday? Do you think we'll see the president? Will he be brought in away from the crowds, both for his own security and just because they don't want to turn it into a spectacle? Or do you think this is going to be cameras everywhere?
So quickly, I think the Secret Service is going to have a big say in that. Two, I would imagine that they're going to adjourn every docket, every case for Tuesday, so you won't have the public going in. I think it'll be spectacle that, yes, cameras will be in the courtroom. They're already seeking a permission from the court to do so. So you'll have it on TV. The indictment will be quick, or the arraignment will be quick. It'll be one where he'll waive all of the formal reading of the indictment. He's not going to go through all 30, and a not guilty plea will be entered for him. And then they're just going to pull out their calendars and start off with the scheduling of this case. I would imagine the defense is going to want time to get all the documentation, all the testimony from the grand juror witnesses, and go through that with the fine-tooth comb, then file their motions.
All right. Todd, we will await what happens. Thank you so much. We appreciate your insight, sir.
Guy, as always, a pleasure to be with you.
Your calls when we come back, 1-800-859-0957.